Brichem Avoim, Shalom Aleichem to everybody. I want to share together a few insights to this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayayir. And I want to start off with a moiridika vod fin Reb Tzodok HaKoyen. Some of us perhaps remember we were by his cave in Lublin, Reb Tzodok HaKoyen. And actually, I said over this vod standing outside his cave. But Chazura never ever harms. This week is Parsha's Vayayir. This is the vod, the parsha which he said this about Torah, on which I said then at the time, and I'd like to repeat it. Reb Tzodok HaKoyen says a klal. This klal is mentioned by other gedolim, Reb Yosef Engel and others, that the first time when anything is mentioned in the Torah, that's where you'll find the mahus, which means the essence of the thing. You'll find it there the first time. Always the first time when something is mentioned in the Torah, that's the mahus of the thing, the essence of it. And the Tzodok HaKoyen says, it's not my chiddush, it's a beferish gemara. The gemara says in Masechtas Baba Kama, haroya ois tes b'chaloim. Somebody who had a dream and he saw the letter tes in his dream, it's a sumet simen yofeloi. It's a good sign, it's a sign that things are going to go good for him. Why, says the gemara, the first time the letter Tes is mentioned in the Torah is by the words in Parshas Bereishis. Boishim saw everything which he had made, and it was Toiv Ma'oid, was very good. So the first time the letter Tes is mentioned in the Torah is for the word Toiv, says the Gemara. The first time the letter Tes is mentioned, it's for the word Toiv. That establishes that the letter Tes is synonymous, is linked, is together with the Yesod of Toiva, of being good. So if you see the letter Tes in a dream, it's a Simen Toiv. Zog Reb Tzodok HaKoyen, Hagam, there are many times afterwards in the Torah where the letter Tes is written, not for good things, Toichocha, Klola, Oinshim, and so forth. It doesn't matter. The first time, that is koiveya, that sets, that fixes, that the letter Tes is a good sign. So, once we've got that rule now at the back of our minds, the first time anything is mentioned Torah, that sets the rule. Where, says Reb Tzodok HaKoyen, is mentioned the first time in the Torah? Tefillah. Where is it mentioned the first time in the Torah? In Torah Shebal Peh, we already told that Udam Arishim was Mispalel, Noach was Mispalel, but it's not written in the Psikim. Where is it written in the Psikim the first time? But there is such a concept. A person can be Mispalel to Hashem. The first time is in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Vayera, that Avram Avini davened to Hashem that he should not destroy Sodom. That's the first time where Tefillah is mentioned. Freik Reb Tzodok HaKoyen Egevaldige Kasha. Lefi his Yesod, Lefi the Gemara, that wherever something is written the first time in the Torah, that establishes, that fixes the essence of whatever it is we're speaking about. So therefore the essence, the mehis of Tefillah is established, it's fixed, according to what we find in Parshas Vayera. You want to understand the concept of Tefillah? Look in Parshas Vayera, the first time, that's where the essence of Tefillah is established. Freik Reb Tzodok HaKoyen, a gewaldige Tefillah, a gewaldige Kasha. Let's have a look at this Tefillah which Avram Avini was mispalel. He begged Hashem, please Hashem, don't destroy Sodom. What happened to his Tefillah? It wasn't answered. Hashem went ahead and did destroy Sodom. Freik Reb Tzodok, we know the Rebbeinu Shalom is a Shemaya Tefillas Kolpe. Rebbeinu Shalom answers Tefillas. That's what we say the whole time in davening. And befrat the Tefillas of Tzadikim, Ritzoy Nirei of Yasser, Veshavusom, Yishma, Veyoshia. Rebbeinu Shalom listens to Tefillas of Tzadikim. How can it be the very, very first time where Tefillah is mentioned in the Torah, the Tefillah of Avram Avini for Anshi Sodom was a Tefillah which we see wasn't answered. Agavaldiga Kasha.
So from there we learn that no is answered.
Huh?
So from there we learn that no is
but answered. It wasn't answered. It wasn't answered.
We use it the first time we learn it and see something mentioned.
So that's the Kasha. That's the Kasha. But this Tefillah wasn't answered because Sodom was destroyed. That's the kasha. The stone was destroyed. So, Zukrab Sudaka Koyim, you ready? You got a bit more. Zukrab Sudaka Koyim, a gavaldigat pshat, a gavaldigat teretz. No tefillah goes unanswered. Every tefillah is answered. It might not.
Yes.
Huh?
Answer's not always yes.
No, the answer might even be yes, but you don't always see it, you don't always realize it, and it's not something which always you see in front of your eyes. So let's take the story of Sodom. Avraham Avinu was mispalel, please Hashem, don't destroy Sodom. So the kasha was, but he did destroy Sodom. So the tefillah of Avraham Avinu wasn't answered. However, says Rabbi Sudha Kakoyin, no, it's not so. I don't know how many people there were in Sodom, where they lived in Sodom. 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 or a million. However many it was, the tefillah of Avraham Avinu was mispal, that these people should all be spared. His tefillah was answered in regard to one person or one family, Lot. Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it down. The reason why Lot was saved was only b'schis Avraham Avinu. The tefillah of Avraham Avinu did work. How much did it work for? Not for everybody. It worked for one person. For Lot and his family, or what emerged was Lot and his two daughters. There is a pusik in tefillin, in Tehillim, Matsusi es David Avdi b'shemen kodshi mishachtiv. Says the pusik, Matsusi es David Avdi. The Boishim says, I found David my servant. Fregen Chazal im Medrash, Matsusi es David Avdi, v'heichon Matsusiv. Where did the Rabbeinu Shlolem find David HaMelech? Enfron Chazal, Matsusiv b'stoim. The Rabbeinu Shlolem found David HaMelech in Sodom. Seems a very difficult Medrash to understand. How on earth does David HaMelech come to Sodom? Explains Reb Tzudek HaKoyin Gevaldi Gevod. We know that from Lot, Amoin Emoyov came out Rus Hamoyavia. Amoin Emoyov. From Moyov comes Rus Hamoyavia. From Rus Hamoyavia comes out David HaMelech. Avraham Avinu was mispal, please Hashem, don't destroy Sodom. Boy Nishloilim answered the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, but not in the way he asked for. He asked for these reshoim, these lowlifes, these good-for-nothings. They shouldn't be killed. The Boishim said, these people, the chayiv misa, the reshoim, the world's not going to have any benefit from them. There's no point in keeping them. Your tefillah of Avraham Avinu did work. For what? For who? To spare, to save one person, Lot and his family, Lot and his two daughters. Oh, Groisa Gedilla. From tens of thousands of people, you saved one person. That's called answering your tefillah. Look who this person is. From Lot is going to come out nations, Amoin Umoyov. From Moyov is going to come out one lady called Rus HaMoyavia, which is why Chazal said that's why Lot was Zoycha to be saved in the Schus of Rus HaMoyavia. Who's Rus HaMoyavia? From Rus HaMoyavia comes out David HaMelech. From David HaMelech is going to come one day Moshiach ben David. And every single time a Yid is in an Eist Surah, Lo Yaleini, and he opens up a Tehillim and he starts to daven, please Hashem, please save me, please help me. And he's saying the words of Tehillim from David HaMelech. Where do these words come from? These words all originate from that first original tefillah of Avraham Avinu. The tefillah of Avraham Avinu, which helped to save Lot, which helped to bring around Rus, which helped to bring around David HaMelech, who wrote Tehillim. And when we say today a tefillah, we're davening, which all our tefillahs which we daven are based on Psikim of Tehillim, we are being ma'oira, that first and original tefillah of David, of Avraham Avinu. So what emerges is that the tefillah of Avraham Avinu was answered. And not only was it was answered way and above what Avraham Avinu had even asked for, had anticipated, had even dreamt of. He asked that the Moshim should spare those Reshuim. Those Reshuim anyway, Reshuim B'chayim, Kriyam Meisim, they were anyway like dust of the earth. The Moshim said, I'll take your tefillah and I will make with through your tefillah, I will bring about something which is going to be everlasting. David HaMelech, Mashiach ben David, alle tefillahs von alle Yidin, b'mashach alle Yorim. It's all connected back to that original first tefillah from Avraham Avinu. So it says Pesuta Kakoyin, not only here in this first tefillah that we find in the Torah, is the tefillah was answered, but here is for us a lesson about tefillah. A person should never think to himself that my tefillah somehow didn't get answered. The Boishim didn't hear what I had to say. The tefillah is answered. You might not see it straight away. It might take a year, might take 5 years, might take 10 years. You might never see it in your lifetime. You might even not realize. But every tefillah is answered. And sometimes people don't understand, how is it a person was walking along and suddenly a car came zooming towards him, was about to crash into him and crush him, Nebuchadnezzar, to death. The last second, somehow, he was saved as if by a miracle. Why was he circled a miracle? It could be because his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather was davening a tefillah many, many years ago. And at the time, they thought that tefillah wasn't answered. Nebuchadnezzar, the great-great-great-grandfather, had a sick child and he begged Hashem, please save my child. And the child was niftah. And he thought, oh, all my tefillahs went for nothing. He didn't realize that tefillah which he davened 100 years earlier was used 100 years later to save the great-great-grandson that he shouldn't be killed by a car crash. And there was a mamish nisim in the floors. He was saved. Every tefillah is answered. That's the lesson which we learn out here from Avraham Avinu. This is the lesson, that very important lesson. But however, in order for tefillah to be answered, one has to know how to daven properly. We have at the end of the parsha, we have another parsha about tefillah. We know Hagar was walking along in the desert with Yishmael, and they ran out of water. Shteit in the pusik, what did she do? She threw down Yishmael in the somewhere there. She went and she sat a bit away. She said, I don't want to see my son die. State in Rashi, what does it mean that Hashem heard the koil hana, the voice of the child of Yishmael? From here we learn out that yofat filas hachoyle al atzmoy. Says Rashi, mikan shi yofat filas hachoyle mit filas hachayrim ulov. Vehi koidemes lehispalel. Because hogadavon, so why does it say, vayishma Hashem is koil hana? From here we learn out, says Rashi, yofat filas hachoyle mit filas hachayrim ulov. I once heard the kasha. Okay, very good. I understand why Yishmael is mentioned first. But if we look in the Pusik, it says, V'yishma l'kim es koil hana'a, V'yikul l'kim el anhoga mit m'nishma v'yoyim el malach hoga, altiri. It's not mentioned at all that the malach heard the tefillah of hoga. It just says, the malach heard the tefillah of Yishmael. L'choyre, it should say in the Pusik, the malach heard the tefillah of Yishmael and the tefillah of hoga. Why is hoga's tefillah totally not mentioned in the Pusik? From here you see that tefillah sachoyle is koydemes liskabel. She should say the malach heard the tefillah of Yishmael and also the tefillah of Hagar. But tefillah of Hagar is not mentioned. So chamur gehet, gewaltig gewalt. What did Hagar do? She put Yishmael in a corner. She walks off because she says al ere b'moyis hayulad. I don't want to see my son die. And then she starts to daven. She's contradicted herself minehi bay. If she really believed in her koyach hatfilah, so Yishmael's not going to die. So by the mere fact that she's coming along and she has said, I don't want to see Yishmael die, and she walks off down the road and then she starts to daven, she shows she herself didn't believe in her own koyach hatfilah. So therefore, this tefillah is not mentioned at all. Why? Because if you don't believe in your koyach hatfilah, so of course it's not going to be accepted in Shemayim. I once heard from the Mashkiach Matzio Salomon Shlita should be gesinnten stark or the gesucht a gewaltige Wort. We know for in order for tefillah to be answered, you have to have the right kavona. It's having with your whole being and mean it and with kavona. So he said, you know, there are many people who say, unfortunately, I know I'm not on the madrega to daven with full kavona. But one thing I do know, when I daven to Hashem for panosa, please Hashem give me money, please Hashem help me, please Hashem allow me to work properly and be successful in business, then I do mean what I say. I really mean what I say, and I'm davening with my full kavona. So why is it that I'm struggling to make ends meet? Why is it that my business isn't successful? I know this tefillah, I do daven properly. I gavaldig akasha, the boy shalom, it listens to every tefillah. So chotch, this tefillah should all be answered and all yidden should be multi-millionaires. So Matthew said, a gavaldig avot, which is taka this yisod. He said, yes, it's true. A person goes to shul in the morning and he davens with kavona and he really, really davens how please Hashem Baruch Haleinis Hashuna Hazoyz Veskol Minei Tzviyusa L'Toiva Veshein Barucha Al Pnei Adoma. And then he carries on after. It's not enough. Afterwards he says, you've got Parshas Hamon that you can say every single day. It's a skilla for Panusa. And some people have got, even today, you can get on a klaf Parshas HaKatoiris Rikosala Omani, but you can pay a sofer to write Parshas HaKatoiris on klaf. And they say, afterwards as well with kavuna, all these skillers for panusa. They're doing all these things. So l'chorei, they're davening with great kavuna. So why the tefillah is not answered? So Ramasu, you want to know why? Because later on he goes to his business and he's faced with a bit of a schwindel that he can do in business. He can mach a schwindel do and a schwindel doddle and get a few more £100 here and a few more £100 there. And mach a dry do and a dry dot, and you don't declare this and you don't declare that. And mach tazoi and a doi. A minute. If you really believe in your koyach ha-tefillah, that the Rabbi Shalom listens to every tefillah, and the Rabbi Shalom is going to give you panos if you ask him, so do you have to come along now and resort to such measures of maching a shvindel do and a shvindel dot? But you yourself this morning, you down to Hashem with such kavona, please Hashem, give me this and give me that, and you can give me Aine Kolech Sabay Va'atu Noisin Lehem Esach Lomita. You, Rabbi Shem, you are the one who's giving it. If you really believed in that, so why are you now in your business doing all these shvindelaries? Elamai, I see that you yourself don't really believe in your own koyach hatfila. Because if you were to believe in your own koyach hatfila, you wouldn't be doing all these things. The Gemara in Ksibas tells us a story. It was a poor man who knocked one day on the door of Rava. He was very hungry. So Rava saw a poor man there. He hadn't eaten for a long time. So he said, please come inside. I'll give you something to eat. Tell me, what would you like to eat? So he said, I'd like to have a piece of just ready, freshly cooked roast chicken. He said, a piece of fat, plump chicken and a bottle of good old vintage wine. So Rava was a bit taken aback. And he said, don't you think you're a bit overstepping, you know? One thing, a poor man asked for something to eat, give him something to eat or whatever, a piece of bread or whatever. But, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, who has just like on the ready cooked chicken and a bottle of wine? It's not Shabbos, it's not Yontif the day, and expect people just to... So this poor man said in surprise to Rava, the Pusik says, Eine koelecho va'ato noisen lehem es ochlam bi'itoi. Everything comes from the Rabbein Shloilam. The Rabbein Shloilam sends whatever person needs, so what's the problem? No sooner had this man said it, there was a knock on his door. Rava opens the door, and there standing in his door was Rava's sister. She hadn't seen him for 13 years. She lived in a different country. And she'd finally come, after 13 years, she'd come to visit her brother Rava. So to cover the occasion, she'd brought with her some food. You know, she knew that, and probably in Rava's house, it isn't always ready-made food. She brought with her a ready-made chicken and a bottle of wine, of old vintage wine. As soon as Rava saw this, he turned around to the poor man and he said to her, these foods my sister didn't bring for me. They were brought for you. So this story is related by the Gemara in Ksibas to teach us a lesson. You have a fellow here, he believed be'emes. He had such emin and betuchen. So therefore, when he said that pusik, he believed it. Rabbi Hashem sends me whatever I want. But said to Matsyo, if you are taking the law into your own hands and you're doing all these things which you shouldn't be doing, which you're not allowed to do, it shows that you yourself don't really believe in your own koyach hatfilah. And this is a beferish Gemara in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah in Daf Yud Zayin, why is it that sometimes that you have two people who become ill with the same identical machla? One of them got better, and the other one, Nebuch, got worse, and he died. Why is it there were two people who were accused of the same crime and they were taken up to the gallows to be hanged, and one of them was let off in the last minute and the other wasn't? and he was hanged. What's the difference? Two identical stories, two identical cases. Says the Gemara, you want to know why? Zeh hispalel tefillah shleima, zeh loy hispalel tefillah shleima. The one who was let off, who became better, he davened the tefillah shleima. Says Rashi, with kavuna. The other one didn't daven with a tefillah shleima, didn't daven with kavuna. This is what the Gemara tells us. Ask Reb Elilopian a gevaldige kasha. Are we speaking uti b'shiftoni askinon? Are we speaking about foolish people? Two people who are taken up to the gallows to be killed, and they daven to Hashem, please Hashem help me, please Hashem save me. Two people who are deathly ill, and they daven to Hashem, please Hashem refu eini v'nei rufei kisel tzeini uta v'halei refi shleim l'chol mak. Are we speaking about a fool? He says, he's not davening with kavuna. Everybody's going to be davening such a matzav in such a situation with kavuna. What does it mean? One davened with kavuna and one davened without kavuna. So Reb Elyalopian said a moyadike insight, and unfortunately, this is very, very true, and we know it ourselves. Unfortunately, sometimes we have, when we hear bad news, we hear Nebuch, did you hear Nebuch, so-and-so has been diagnosed with a terrible illness, Yena Machla, it's all over his body. So, Lomazok and Tehillim. So we call make Tehillim, and everybody makes Tehillim rotas, and everybody says Tehillim. But deep, deep down inside one, what does one think to himself? Yeah, we're saying Tehillim, but unfortunately, Nebuch, there's nothing we can do about it. It's already Nebuch, it's shown Kimat La'acha Masa. So one says Tehillim, but deep, deep down, one doesn't really believe oneself that it's going to make a difference. Od Gezuk Reb Elyalopian, this is the Pshat in the Gemara. Two people were taken up to the gallows. One was hanged, and one wasn't hanged. Says Gemara, why? One davened to Tefillah Shleima, and one didn't daven. How could it be? Fools, says Rashi, but Kavuna. What's me, Kavuna? Havana, they both davened with Kavuna. Please Hashem, save my life. Please Hashem, I beg of you. So what's me, they didn't daven with Kavuna? One of them believed in his Koyach HaTefillah, it would make a difference, and the other one didn't believe it would make any difference. So although they both davened with Kavuna, Perish and Millers, and they both meant what they said, however, one of them didn't really believe in the Koyach HaTefillah it would make a difference. That's called davening without kavuna. Now, in this town, there lived a Yid who was nifter just very recently, about 2 years ago. His yotzeit, I think, is one of these days, now Cheshvan, now 2 years ago. Reb Yaakov Yosef Weiss, some of you might remember him, was a very, very chushev Yid who lived here in town, a greiser Talmud Chochem. He lived on Northumberland Road. He was the Shoichet of Machzik Hadas for many, many years. And he had such a story. He went through the Second World War and he was in Auschwitz. And he had the following story which happened to him. He was on this train, and we've been to Auschwitz and we've seen as our wagon, we went there in Lodz, in Ratzregard, where it was called, the station there. He was on Azar wagon train going towards Auschwitz, and he had a good friend of his, a chav of his from yeshiva, from cheder days, and they all knew what was going to be the end, Nebuch in Auschwitz. And his friend said to Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, right, that's it, another day or two, that's it, we're going to be gone, we're going to be killed. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef said, no, we have to daven to Hashem, the Moshe will help us. Ah, don't be silly, we're on this train. It's a one-way journey of no return. They arrived in Auschwitz, and they come there, and they're told to file up outside the gas chambers there. And his friend says to him, you with your tefillahs, with your kavunas, yeah? A lot's going to help you now. So Biakia said, have kavuna, have bitochen, have amina, dam tashem, Ramosha could save us. Yeah. His friend made litzunas of him. They go up the queue until it comes their turn, and the Nazis tell them, okay, everybody inside to the, you know, what they thought were the showers, get undressed. They're all told to get undressed, and then they're all pushed into the gas chambers, and the doors are shut. I've never heard of anybody else besides him who emerged alive from the gas chambers. They were standing there, hundreds of Yidden, jam-packed together inside the gas chambers. The door had been sealed already. Any second, the Nazis, Yamach Shemom, were going to throw in the gas, and there was going to be the end of him. And his friend says to him, even then, his friend said to him, It helped you a lot. All your tefillahs, all your kavuna, and all the rest of it helped you a lot. Said Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Chazal, tell us, Afile cherev chado minachas al tzavuro shel udom. Even if a person has got his head on the execution block and the sword is literally over his throat, over his skin, over his head, al yisyash atzmoy min horachamim. Do not give up. Do not be miyayish. Do not despair. Have a minim betuchen in the reboishim. That's what he said to his friend, standing there naked inside the gas chamber. And his friend laughs at him. Foolish fellow, what's he thinking? You know, they're about to be killed, not any minute, but any second. Suddenly, the door opened. The Nazis said they need a few extra people to do some work for them. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was standing there with his friend. He was grabbed. His friend standing right next to him wasn't. They yanked Rabbi Yaakov Yosef out the gas chamber, shut the door. He was saved, and Nebuch, his friend, was killed. And this is the story. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef somehow, Ben Nissim, survived the war, came here to Manchester, built up a mashpucha, l'shem l'tiferes. And this is something which came about. Why? Because he davened a tefillah shleima, even though he thought it was impossible for him to be saved. No, I'm davening to Rabbi Nishloilem. Nothing's impossible for Rabbi Nishloilem. Afile cherev chada minachas al tzavur shalodem. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, Zeicher Tzadik Levrucha, used to say over a slightly similar story. He was in Siberia, and in Siberia, Nebuch, in winter, was minus 30, minus 40 below naught. Had no warm clothes to wear. They didn't have any warm meals to eat. And the people, Nebuch, were hungry and emaciated and weak and cold. And they would have to go out every day into the forest there to chop wood and work for the Russians. And the Nebuch, the Yidden, would fall Nebuch like flies, one after the other. And those people, Nebuch, who died, they were not brought back into the camp for burial. They were just left them there. And the wolves and the other wild animals would eat up their bodies. One day, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky woke up in the morning and he was burning with fever. Burning, he could feel it was terrible fever. He could hardly walk. But there was no chokhmas with the Russians. Everybody had to go out to work. And he felt that he couldn't anymore. He couldn't. The Ototot, he felt he's going to go out there and work in the forest, minus 30, and he was burning with fever. He could hardly walk. He felt he was about to collapse any minute. So he davened to the Rabbi in the Shloilem. Please, what was his tefillah? What did he daven in that matzav? He said himself, I never chulimed in a million years that I'm going to get better, I'm going to survive the war, I'm going to come to Etzel. I didn't daven for any of that. What I davened was that, please Hashem, allow me to live a few more hours. I don't want to die here in the forest, because if I die in the forest, that means I'm not going to be buried, come to Kavi Yisur, I'm just going to be eaten up by the wolves at night. Please Hashem, allow me to live another few hours that I should die tonight. In the where they stayed in the bunker dort, at least that way he would get some type of burial, some type of kavi yisrael. That's what he davened. He said, what did Rabbi Shloilem do? Rabbi Shloilem took that tefillah that he davened, and not only did he keep him alive another few hours, but he somehow became better. He managed to live till the end of the war. After the war, he left Siberia, came to Eretz Yisrael, got married, had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and was nif just a few years ago when he was in his 90s. And he said, this is a tach and a pusik in Tehillim, in Perichov base, that shteidot in Tehillim, Ruchik miyishi usi divrei sha'agusi. Said Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, look how far was my yeshia. Ruchik mi yeshiusi. Look how far away from my yeshia was divrei sha'agusi. The words which I cried out. I cried out, Hashem, please Hashem, let me live for another 3, 4, 5 hours. That's what I davened, nothing more. Look how far removed was my yeshia. Boshem took that tefillah, because I cried out with all my heart. I meant it. Boshem took that tefillah, and from that tefillah, Boy Shloilem allowed me to survive, to become better, to come to Eretz Yisrael, get married, and see Doris one after the other. Ruchik mi yeshiyusi, divrei shagusi. Dusuk Reb Tzudek HaKoyen, That's the lesson of the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, the first tefillah in the Torah. Look how far went the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. He was mispalel, please Hashem, don't destroy those Rishuim and Sadoim. Said the Rishuim, those Rishuim, they're already as if they're dead. Rishuim b'chayayim, kariyim meisim. They're already dead, they're non-existent. I'm taking your tefillah of Avraham Avinu. Your tefillah I'm going to use to save Lloyd. Your tefillah I'm going to use to make Herus HaMoviah. Your tefillah I'm going to use to make a David HaMelech. Your tefillah I'm going to use to make a Mashiach Ben David. And through your tefillah, every time a Yid davens to Hashem and says Tehillim, it's all linked up, connected to your original tefillah. But as I said, this only happens when you daven a real tefillah. What's a real tefillah? Not like Hogar, who don't, please Hashem, don't kill Yishmo, but then she walked off because she doesn't want to see him die. A tefillah which is genuine. If you're doing a Schwindler eye in your business, avada, you show yourself you don't believe in your own koyach tefillah. So why should Boishim listen to your tefillah? If you believe in your koyach tefillah, you daven your hardest, then the Boishim is shemet tefillahs kol peh. We should all be zoicha that all our tefillahs should be listened to l'toiva. Yemala Hashem kol mishalos l'beini l'toiva umen ken yirutzayim.